Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. One of my favorite activities each week happens early on Monday mornings. This is no exclusive group. It is open to everyone who is wanting to come to join us for prayer early in the morning on Monday mornings. We join together to pray over the prayer concerns that we receive through the church, to pray over our own personal prayer requests, and to offer praise, thanksgiving, and confession. It's an honor to be a part of this group who trusts one another, is vulnerable with one another, and is incredibly honest. Recently, Carol Cooper mentioned a statement that was simple yet profound about the state of our culture. She said that we are living in a time of, I'm okay, you're not okay. And it's a culture for whom humility has been lost or never learned. As I sat with her words, I realized how true they are. We have in-groups and out-groups, and our in-groups have become increasingly small because in order to be in, you must agree as I think you ought and agree right now. For many, this has been incredibly isolating and disheartening. I'll speak for myself and say that I have felt nearly paralyzed during this time of, I'm okay, you're not okay. Should I say something? Should I not? What if I say something that sets someone off? What if I say something that causes them to leave the church or the big church? How can I faithfully lead in a time when our culture is so divided and each person is looking for just that right trigger word to put an X on you and kick you out of the group? The truth is that life and we are dynamic. We change, we grow, we look back and realize we're not the same people we were back then. On our own, I am not okay, just as you are not okay. We are all sinners in desperate need of God's grace and forgiveness through Jesus. In times like this, we need reminders that we are not alone. Reminders that there have been many faithful, yet sinful saints who have gone before us, and many faithful who will come after us. This encouragement was one that first century Christians needed when John the Seer wrote Revelation. The church needed encouragement in the face of isolation and severe persecution. Christians were marginalized, had no power, and were dying for the faith. Some were losing hope and others had no passion. Still others were stalwarts in the faith. They could not be shaken. Yet they needed encouragement too. John received a vision from Jesus that for the church to remain steadfast in the face of what was yet to come. This vision came, as many do, in pictures, like dreams. His vision was in a then-familiar apocalyptic style, not meant to be taken literally, but absolutely seriously. In his vision, John sees a throne room with four creatures with eyes all over, 24 elders dressed in white with crowns on their heads, angels, one who is seated on the throne, and a lamb who looks like he has been slain. The one on the throne holds a scroll that no one is worthy to unseal. No one, that is, except for the lamb. The scroll has seven seals on it, and as the lamb removes each seal, John sees a terrifying image. The opening of each seal reveals that there will be imperialism, wars, injustice, persecution of the saints, and destruction of the earth. And in the middle of this vision, an angel comes commanding that the destruction of the earth not take place until a seal is placed on the heads of the servants of God to protect them. John hears that 144,000 are sealed, 12,000 from each of the tribes of Israel. Now, this number, 144,000, is symbolic, representing fixedness and full completion. 12 times 12, taken 1,000-fold. Verse 9 says that after this, John looks and sees a great multitude, so large that no one can count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Those who have been sealed are so numerous and so different that John looks on amazed. They have been spared utter destruction, but they have not been spared serious pain. They are dressed in white robes and hold palm branches of victory. They cry out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels, elders, and the four living creatures fall on their faces before the throne and worship God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." John has a conversation with one of the elders about who this multitude is, dressed in white with palm branches in their hands. The elder says, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." This word tribulation has become popularized in recent decades, indicating a specific time in history of suffering. The Greek word for tribulation, phlipsis, is nonspecific, meaning trouble, distress, hard circumstances, or suffering. It's a word used in Romans 8:35 when Paul asks, "Who shall separate us from the love of God in Christ? Shall tribulation, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or sword?" In Romans 12:12, "Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer." And in Revelation 1:9, "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation," and so on. This great tribulation is an undefined time of suffering, which happened in the first century and will continue to happen until Jesus comes again. In this vision, this great diverse multitude has experienced suffering. They have suffered and endured and are now wearing white robes and waving palm branches of victory. They no longer suffer or endure pain and have been spared from ultimate destruction because they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. "Therefore," the elder says, "they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his presence over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." What a beautiful image of this promise to come. Suffering that is not in vain and clean by the blood of the Lamb, surrounded by saints from all over the earth, from every time and place, worshiping and serving God, blanketed by the presence of God, and shepherded by Jesus. We yet await this vision until God's purpose has been fulfilled. And we can speculate about when this will be until we're blue in the face, but only God knows. It might be today, and it might be many centuries from now. God only knows. Whether it's near or far, our calling remains the same: to live faithfully in times of great suffering and isolation, and in times of great joy and friendship. On this celebration of All Saints Sunday, you and I remember that we are not alone. We remember those who have paved the path before us, people who were deeply flawed and sinful, yet recognized in their humility that they were saved by grace through faith. Not through any goodness of their own, they were made clean by the blood of Jesus, brought into God's family through baptism, and continually renewed by Jesus' presence in Holy Communion. One of the truly wonderful aspects of Holy Communion is that it is not some Jesus and me experience. We are joined by our church community, Christians around the world, and Christians who have gone on before us and are now with Jesus. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, too numerous to count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, including loved ones from St. Tim's. You are not alone. And as with all the saints who have gone on before you, your life has purpose. If you still have breath in you, God is not through with you yet. He will continue to mold and shape you into the likeness of Jesus until finally he brings you to be with him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, where there is no more crying or mourning or pain any longer. You will join the great multitude praising and serving God because of his faithfulness and love. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your promise that we are not alone, that we are surrounded by the many faithful who have come before us, that Jesus is our constant presence. We thank you for the symbols and for the ways in which you remind us and give us Jesus' presence through Holy Communion. Thank you for this gift, and we thank you that you are not through with us yet, that whatever suffering we might endure on this side of eternity will not be purposeless, that you will use for good and for your glory. We pray that you would continue to encourage us, mold us into the likeness of Jesus, until one day we see you face to face and are with all of the faithful who have gone on before us. Give you thanks and praise. We pray this in Jesus' name. We join now together singing the song from Revelation, this beautiful song, this image of bowing down before him and worshiping all of creation, all of the faithful. Let's sing together.